from Russia with love, I fly to you.
17 minutes after 4 o'clock here on a Monday afternoon downtown. Our next guest is the author of the New York Times bestsellers The Last Good Night and Dark Invasion, as well as the Edgar Award-winning American Lightning, Wanted, The Gold Exodus, Gangland, The Floor of Heaven. You've seen him on a number of news programs, television programs through the years, and he's the author of a remarkable new book entitled In the Enemy's House, The Secret Saga of the FBI Agent and the Codebreaker Who Caught the Russian Spies. We welcome Howard Bloom to downtown. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Nice to speak with you.
What a
I love the music.
We thought that would be appropriate. A fascinating book, and the point of which it makes it even more crucial to the times we live in. Russia's interference, whatever it was, in the 2016 election is merely the latest step in a process that you point out began in the earliest days of the Cold War.
Yes, just as World War II was ending, Russia declared a covert war against America. And I tell the story in the Enemy's House of a sort of jovial FBI agent and a quirky codebreaker who's working out of a top secret facility called Arlington Hall, a former girls' finishing school just outside Washington, how they team up and do something impossible. They crack the Russian codes only to discover that the Russians are trying to get our atomic secrets. And by get, I mean steal. And they go on this hunt to track down the spies who are out there and bring them to justice.
Well, and Russian agents did that in a number of ways, but a big part of it was finding a way to embed themselves in some key circles, including the science community and within the government itself.
Yes, Russians were very shrewd and we were very naive. It's a combination of both, and the same thing is happening today. But scientists who were there at Los Alamos, people working our defense plants, our scientific research centers, were all Soviet agents. And they would meet with members from Moscow Center, as the Russian spy headquarters was known, and transfer secrets. The Russians walked away with a primer on how to build an atom bomb. We let them take it. And now we let them interfere with our elections. And we seem to be doing nothing to prevent them from interfering again in our election.
Now, as you pointed out, too, in several interviews, these days it's the conservatives who are claiming that all of this Russia talk is a witch hunt. But back in the 50s, it was the liberals who were saying this and trying in many ways to obscure the fact that there was actual interference by the Russians. And of course, the most famous case, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. And what your research has discovered is that she may not have been part of the conspiracy, but was certainly aware of what was going on.
Yes, she was bringing up witch hunts. And witches don't exist, but facts do exist. And we had the facts for over 50 years. We had these decoded Soviet cables that made it clear that Julius Rosenberg was running a spy ring with at least a dozen members, and they were stealing important U.S. military research secrets. At the same time, his wife, Ethel Rosenberg, she knew about the existence of the spy ring. She had helped recruit her brother who was working at Los Alamos, but she was not an active Soviet agent. If this had been known, if we had the government had decided to share what they know with the prosecutors, with even the President of the United States, the President of the United States did not even know if these cables had been decoded, it probably would have saved Ethel Rosenberg's life. She would not have been executed. And today, while an indignant president is tweeting that it's a witch hunt, we once again need to get the facts out there. We need to know what our intelligence agencies are hiding from us. Why, for example, they decided to wiretap Carter Page, a Trump foreign policy advisor, on four different occasions, and this was approved by three Republican judges.
In terms of the Rosenberg case, did the government, or at least the prosecutors, try to use the threat of the execution of Ethel Rosenberg to get Julius Rosenberg to confess?
Yes, very much so. That was, the heroes of my book who knew the whole truth about Ethel's role, thought was happening and was happening. They thought she would never go to trial, and then when she went to trial, she wouldn't be convicted. And then when it came time to give the sentence, Bob Lamphere, the FBI agent, who was the hero of my story, met with J. Edgar Hoover, and to J. Edgar Hoover's credit, he got Hoover to write a letter to the judge asking for clemency, that Ethel Rosenberg not be given the death penalty, a mother of two young children who had never stolen atomic secrets. The judge, for whatever reason, decided not to go along with Hoover, and she was executed too.
We're talking with Howard Bloom, author of In the Enemy's House. You wrote a wonderful piece in Vanity Fair last year about the Steele dossier, and in that you used the phrase walking back the cat as a way to attempt to find information here. What do our intelligence experts believe about that Steele dossier?
Our intelligence experts believe that the Steele dossier is accurate, and now the one thing they were suspicious about was what happened at the Miss Universe conference. As we sit and speak today, Robert Mueller, the special counsel, is looking into that Miss Universe contest with then Donald Trump, the investor, seeing what connections he made to the Russians, what deals, what loans were made. What's interesting to me about the Steele dossier, yes, it was opposition research. Steele was paid indirectly through the members of the Democratic National Committee, but all campaigns do opposition research. When Steele went looking in Moscow, trying to find financial crimes, he found something larger. He found that the Russians were targeting our entire electoral process. And what does Steele do? He runs to the FBI, as anyone should do when you find something this shocking. At the same time, Donald Trump Jr. gets information from a Russian source that the Russians have incriminating information on Hillary Clinton. What does he do? He sends an email that says, quote, "I love it," and calls a meeting at Trump Tower with Manafort, Jared Kushner, and these Russians. Steve Bannon, of all people, has called this meeting treasonous. We'll soon see what the special counsel says about it.
During the Watergate investigation all those years ago, the key phrase was follow the money. Does that same advice apply to this investigation?
Very much so, and I think that's what sends fear through the president. The special counsel's office, his team of forensic investigators, forensic accountants, are going to be looking at the money trail, the money that went into Trump properties, the Trump business from Russians that might have been money laundering through Deutsche Bank. That's one of their large suspicions. That's the only reason I can think that Trump has been so apathetic about Russia's attack on us. You know, the attack on our last election was an attack on America just as clearly as 9/11 was an attack on America. And last week before Congress, the head of the National Security Agency told the Congress that he had not been given any instructions by the president to combat Russian attacks and that we're not prepared for their next round of attacks on the midterm elections or the next presidential election in 2020.
I thought this was very telling. You said recently that I think around the time of the inauguration, the CIA told Israelis not to trust President Trump with information because the Russians had their hooks in him.
Yes, at a meeting just before the inauguration, after the election, a group of Israeli intelligence agents based at the Washington station there in the embassy go to the CIA for one of their usual meetings, and they go through whatever business they were conducting. And at the end of the meeting, a CIA man says, "There's something else. We want to tell you to be careful about what you share with the Trump administration." They were very wary about what was said to in CIA headquarters would make its way back to Moscow. There was a fear that General Flynn, other members of the Trump campaign who were looking at top secret documents, would be passing this on. And when the Israelis heard this, they were totally shocked. And yet, information was conveyed to America, and there was a meeting last May in the White House between Trump and the Russian ambassador and the Russian foreign minister, and he started bragging about the great intelligence I have. He said, I have great intel, according to the transcript of the meeting, and he disclosed secret Israeli operations in Syria to the Russians.
Obviously, the goal of the Russian espionage back in the 1940s was to get their hands on atomic secrets, and they accomplished that. From your research and your understanding of the situation, what is the primary goal of Russian interference now? Is it to plant chaos and doubt about our electoral system, or does it go even deeper than that?
Well, it appears that if they're trying to plant chaos and doubt, they've done a very good job, and let's hope that's the end of it. However, the special counsel is looking to see if it's something more nefarious. If, in fact, a president has been elected who is not going to be tough on Russia. You know, Congress has voted sanctions on Russia. The Trump administration has not enacted those sanctions yet. There's been no reason why. Trump says that he met with Putin, and Putin told him he didn't manipulate the last election, and Trump says, I believe him. Why? I don't know. It seems that Trump, who's very tough-spoken, to say the least, about many individuals, is trying to build a relationship with Putin that's very quizzical, leaves a lot of questions unanswered, and raises even more questions.
Is there, in this modern-day version of the story, an equivalent to a Bob Lamphere? Is there somebody that could be a contemporary hero?
Let us hope so. Let us hope, you know, that there's the team of Lamphere and Gardner that propel my book forward, that detective story. Let's hope that Mueller is the next one who gets to the bottom of things. I sure hope so, for America's sake, because this is not a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue, as the dueling memos from the Intelligence Committee made it seem. It's really an American issue about all our national security, about our family's national security.
Well, this is an absolutely fascinating read, and it reads like the best suspense crime novels, but it's true, and it's frightening on so many levels. In the Enemy's House, Howard Bloom, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.